The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
He's a Hall of Famer, an Atlanta legend, and again this season, he's only on one station.
And there it is, career strikeout number 1,000.
Struck him out. Seven strikeouts through five. Hasn't allowed the Indians a hit.
And that's 300 wins for Tom Glavine.
It's the Tom Glavine Show, presented by Brown & Company Jewelers on Holcomb Bridge Road in Roswell and Peachtree Road in Buckhead, and by attorney Ken Nugent. One call, that's all.
Tom Glavine with us here on The Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM. Tom, appreciate you coming on. The pitch count, the idea of a pitch count, how often was that discussed between you and Leo and Bobby Cox?
It was discussed, but I don't think it was the... It wasn't the end-all, be-all by any stretch of the imagination. And I'm not saying that it's the end-all, be-all in today's game, but it sure seems to have a big impact. I know for us it was, when you started getting over 100 pitches, obviously you were kind of getting in that area where you started to need to watch things. And it wasn't uncommon for Leo, once we kind of started getting around that 100-pitch mark, that he might miss a pitch or two on his little clicker, to where you'd say to him, how many pitches do I have? And he'd say, you got like 95. And you knew in your mind there was no way in hell you only had 95 pitches. But, that was what we did then. And I think more of it was, I think the pitch count was more, became more into play based on the style of game that we were involved in. By that, I mean, if it was a pretty stress-free game, then the pitch count really didn't matter. If it was a high-stress game where you had traffic every inning and you're in and out of jams, that pitch count becomes a little bit more of an issue because, you're taxing yourself more. But it wasn't the end-all, be-all, that's for sure.
Did you ever have a catcher rat you out? I'm good. No, he's not. He's done. Guy's got nothing left.
Not that I know of, not on the mound anyway. Back on the bench, a manager might have secretly gone to somebody, a catcher, and said, "Hey, what do you think?" But never on the mound. And look, I think that was the beauty of the relationship we had with Bobby. If Bobby came out to the mound and we knew it. If Bobby walked out to the mound, we were done. If he ran to the mound, we knew we had a chance. And it was all predicated upon he was going to ask you how you felt, and he expected, demanded an honest answer. And, that was the beauty of the relationship and the trust that we had with one another. And in those circumstances, no, I never had a catcher kind of look at me and kind of give me the Pinocchio sign, like, yeah, sure you are.
Yeah. I just heard something.
You have potential in you.
Better take this mask off or I'm going to break this nose. I just heard something and just realized something. On the intro, and by the way, you're a big shot. You have your own intro. Somebody took the time.
I know, and I got to hear it twice this week. Wow, that's a big deal.
Wow. So I hear John Miller at the end. It was a Sunday night game, so John Miller says you've won your 300th game. Have you ever thought about not only the group of guys here, the older guys, no longer with us in terms of calling games and unfortunately no longer with us, but John Miller, Vin Scully, have you ever thought about the guys who've actually called games when you were on the mound? I don't even know if you've ever heard any of them.
Yes and no. I mean, I guess I'm aware of it, never really thought about it. But you're right. I mean, that intro certainly with John Miller, he was, one of the greats, obviously, and then certainly guys like Vin Scully. I've never heard Vin Scully call one of my games. I've certainly heard him call many games when we were in L.A. If you're sitting in the clubhouse having a cup of coffee during an inning or something, and they've got the game playing, it was always Vin Scully. So I've heard a lot of Vin Scully games, but you know, no, it's an interesting, you know, as much as you think about all the great players you played right. with and against, no, I've never really had that same thought process when it relates to broadcasters, but there's certainly been a lot of really good ones.
Hall of Famer Tom Glavine with us here on the Fan 680 and 93.7 FM. Haven't had the chance to call games this year. You've been around this team for the mad roller coaster ride. All of that being said, how surprised to see this team where they are right now are you, especially when you go back to where they were in June into July?
You know, I am and I'm not, right? I mean, I think that there was obviously a lot of people, myself included, wondered whether or not the team was ever going to gain traction. You know, with all the troubles they had the first half of the year, every time they got close to 500 and then kind of taking that dip and losing three or four games in a row, it was like they could never get above that mark. And we're all kind of waiting like, my God, what, you know, come on. But at the same time, you know, it was almost like, well, they can't possibly play this way all year long. You know, they're going to hit their stride. They're gonna find some consistency. You know, guys who weren't really having the kind of years that they were expecting to up to that point in time, you kind of expected they inevitably they would. The saving grace in all of it was always that nobody in the division was running away with the division, so that certainly helped. But I think probably the two facets that probably more than anything else, the starting pitching was good, and you felt good. Particularly with the three horses at the top of the rotation. And I think the same was true for the bullpen. You know, you saw the success the bullpen had the year before, which precipitated the Braves allowing Melanson and Green to go because they felt good about Minter and Matzik and Luke Jackson and the work that they did the year before, and they felt confident with them going into this year. But collectively, they just weren't able to kind of find it consistently that first half of the year. And you almost felt the same way, like inevitably these guys are going to figure it out. And they did. So I think all those things kind of came together. And certainly the additions that they made at the trading deadline, you know, although they, I don't want to say they were under the radar. They weren't anything blockbuster, so to speak. But man, those guys have come in and fit in really well, and been a huge part of the success that this team has had, you know, the second half of the year and now into the playoffs.
You have pitched in big pressure moments where the adrenaline could get the best of you. But have you ever thought about the idea? Because I talked to Matzik last night. Now, obviously, Will Smith, the roller coaster ride he's put us all on. Starting pitchers have to take it down. Relief guys will tell you, no, I want it amped up. Personality-wise, would you have ever been able to come out of the bullpen and actually used adrenaline in a world after you spent all those years trying to take it down a notch and just get yourself level-headed about everything?
I don't know if it would have worked for me, to be truthful. You know, I'm sure that in the, you know, I know because I've talked to guys who have done it, in particular Smoltzy. I know that what you're talking about is a fact. You know, for a guy to come out of the bullpen, it's all about utilizing that adrenaline for one hitter, one inning, whatever it is. And I know in Smoltzy's case, he talked about it a lot that, you know, the ability to go out there and just let it all fly for one inning, was something that was not hard for him to do. And in fact, increased his stuff. I mean, you saw John as a starter. He was, you know, 93, 94. As a reliever, he'd come out, he's throwing 97. Well, that's because he can do it for one inning and it's one and done. The reason I say I don't know if it would have helped me, the adrenaline I could have done easily. But the adrenaline to make me better, I'm not sure that it right. would have helped me because, you know, for me, it was always a concern, not necessarily always a struggle, but always a concern when I had extra days rest that I was going to be too strong. And when I was too strong and I was throwing a little bit harder, my sinker was straighter, my location wasn't as good. So I'm not sure that adrenaline and i.e. added velocity would have helped me much because it kind of took away from what made me good.
Okay. So Will Smith doesn't get off the hook for causing, we call it pacing, agita, ulcers. He doesn't get completely off the hook. But can we maybe flip it for a second and can we ask, do we have to respect the amount of stones that he has for getting into trouble and not being at times overwhelmed by the actual trouble that he's gotten himself into?
Did all of that adversity, Tom, help him, you think, so far in the postseason?
Oh, I mean, I think you 100% have to give him credit for that. Look, there's not a part of Will Smith that wants to go out there and cause the heart attacks that he causes sometimes. He doesn't want to do that. I mean, look, everybody, when you go out on the mound, you want it to be as easy as cake, right? And particularly in Will's role, where, you know, a bad inning for him costs you a ball game. You know, again, as a starter, you have a bad inning in the first inning, it could cost you the ball game, but you still have a chance to recover. Those guys on the back end of the bullpen have a bad game. We don't have a chance to recover most times, and that's a hell of a lot of pressure that goes along with that. And look, I'm the same as you guys, right? I love the guys that come out of the bullpen for the most part in terms of their stuff, but I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I don't watch with my fright filter on sometimes, because you just sometimes don't know what you're going to get. And I think in Will's case, yeah, it's not always easy. It's not always pretty, but at the end of the day, it's been successful a heck of a lot more than it hasn't been. And I think to your point, yeah, he gets into some jams and some of them are self-produced. But if you watch his demeanor on the mound, his demeanor doesn't change much. You know, he doesn't get to walking around the mound and getting antsy and doing whatever. You know, he still looks like he's in control, and that's a big deal. You know, I mean, that to me was always one of the things that I always tried to do, and I know people have talked about it, is, you know, even when you're in the soup, you got to act like you got it under control, like you know what you're doing. And I think Will does a really good job of doing that. And I think that, yeah, unfortunately for the fans, the more Will has those situations and wiggles his way out of it, then the more confidence it gives him that when he gets in it again, he could do it. It's just not necessarily the most comfortable thing to watch as a fan, because we want everything to be easy.
Unfortunately, it's not, but that's what makes it fun, what we saw last night. Freddie Freeman, hopefully he has more postseason defining moments, but what does this do for a guy's confidence doing what he did against the best in the eighth inning with seemingly everything on the line last night?
Well, look, you go into a postseason, right, and it's more so than the regular season, but you go into postseason and you identify as an opposing team, you identify guys that you don't want to beat you. And on your team, you identify the guys that you know have to step up in order for you to win. And both of those things happened yesterday, right? The Brewers got beat by the guy that they identified as being the guy they did not want to let beat them. And the Braves had their horse step up and do something spectacular. So I think it gives them a tremendous amount of success. Look, I think we all understand that if this team is really going to do what it wants to do, Freddie has to be Freddie. That's not to say they can't win some games here and there if Freddie's off a little bit, because they do have other really good pieces in their lineup that can add and pick up the slack and do all those things. But let's face it, if Freddie is Freddie, this lineup is a lot different than if he's not. And for him to go out there and hit that big home run yesterday, it's obviously a huge physical boost, because it moves the Braves on to the next round. But I think the psychological boost is just as important. You need your horse to be your horse in the postseason, and that's Freddie. I know Austin Riley's had a hell of a year, and Ozzie Albies and everybody up and down the lineup has done special things. But let's face it, that lineup kind of flows through Freddie. And if Freddie's being Freddie, this lineup is really good.
All right. Is there such a thing as bulletin board material coming from the other side?
Yes.
Do you have an example of when you personally or you guys collectively said bulletin board material?
I think the one that the kind of the general that I think of the most is, you know, 91 down the stretch with the Dodgers and the some of the talk that continued to come out of the Dodger locker room was, we were young and we were going to fold. And that mattered to us, you know, that certainly was kind of that bulletin board fodder, like, okay, you think we're going to fold? Okay, fellas, let's see what happens. And that was a motivating thing for our team down the stretch in 91, no question.
You played how many years in the bigs?
22.
Okay. Did you ever cause bulletin board material? Have you ever said anything that you think might have, whether it was real, kind of real? Do you think you've ever said anything?
I mean, it's hard to say that I didn't, you know, certainly not something like overly controversial, but was there ever something that I said that maybe somebody on another team or collectively a team took and thought, oh, okay, yeah, okay, we'll show you. I mean, I can't think of anything, but I probably wouldn't sit here and say absolutely never did I ever say anything.
All right, I'm going to give you a chance right now. Who would you rather face, the Giants or the Dodgers?
Man, that's a good question. You know, it's funny because I still probably fear the Dodgers more simply because I feel like I know more about them. Like, to me, the Giants are still, you know, one of the best teams, obviously, in baseball that you just don't know a whole lot about, right? And you kind of continue to wonder, well, how are they doing it? I would say, given the Dodgers, injury issues with their starting rotation, I'd be a little bit inclined to want to see them. Because again, I don't know a ton about the Giants, but man, they seem to keep pitching well. So, maybe I'll take my chances with the Dodgers.
Hall of Famer Glavin says Dodgers stink.
It is a weird situation, Tom, because you look at this Dodger team, and we've said it all year. I don't want them coming here. Don't need them in our lives. But now they're banged up, and you would be at home for the first two games. So it's a lot more complicated now that we're upon it.
Let me ask you real quick. Do you
think? No, 100%. Listen, I to that point also, you know, as much as you say what you just said, Nick, right, where we don't want to see the Dodgers and the Dodgers, you know, wouldn't it be nice if that was the team we beat to get to the World Series?
Yes.
You know, I promise you the guys in that locker room don't care, but if they had their choice on who they knew they were going to beat to get to the postseason, I mean, to get to the World Series, they would rather beat the Dodgers to get to the World Series than the Giants.
Is this
because of the history.
Is this a factor for you? Because here's the good news. I don't believe that Ian Anderson is soft. So I'm going to temper what I say. Him here Sunday, if you give Charlie an extra day or two, him here Sunday as opposed to maybe Sunday in San Francisco, is that young guy, is that better? I've seen him pitch now in this building. I've seen him pitch in a full building the night he clinched. He knows what it's like, what this crowd can maybe do for him. Do you like him on Sunday, and do you give Charlie an extra day or so and maybe have him go out there, out west?
So in doing the math, so Max obviously goes game one.
Right.
If Charlie went game two, he would be on short rest.
Well, he's coming off a short rest with this last start.
I don't know that I worry too much about that. I think if there's a thought process at all in terms of how you want to play it out, I think if it comes down to it, I think the Braves would send Charlie Morton to the mound game two on the road.
Right.
Without question. If they're home, I think there's a little bit of thought process about that same conversation, right? Because I agree with what you said. I'm not afraid of Ian Anderson at home or on the road, or I'm certainly not afraid of him on the road. But do you put him as a young guy in a little bit better situation pitching on his home mound? I think you probably do. So I think that factors into the equation. But look, let's face it, right? I think more than anything else, if you're the Braves and you're looking at this thing and you say, okay, maybe we don't like the Dodgers or we didn't like the Dodgers earlier in the year and now they're a little bit banged up, so maybe not that big of a deal. At the end of the day, you don't care who you beat to get to the World Series, but if you can have home field advantage, you want home field advantage.
Now, the one thing we know, they're playing on Saturday. It would be normal rest, 5 days rest, if Charlie Morton were to pitch on Sunday. Hall of Famer Tom Glavin, always a pleasure, sir. Let's talk as the playoffs roll on.
All right, guys. Have a great day.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Is there chaos in your closet?
Look, Blouse, you've got some nerve hanging there like that.
I can't help it. I'm jammed in here next to this suit.
Hey, I'm a three-piece, all right? Which means I need a little more room.
You've got a lot of attitude for a linen suit.
I'm a polyester blend, sweetheart. There needs to be room for men's clothes, too.
Hi, I'm Christina, and at Artisan Custom Closets, we help families organize and simplify their closets with customized storage solutions. See what's possible for your home at artisancustomclosets.com. And then call us for a free in-home consultation.